This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
2 hours down, one to go. Taj Boyd come up here momentarily. Sugar Bowl press conference will be live. We will cover that coming up at the bottom of the hour. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. And, of course, you've got us on SiriusXM 371. Many thanks to Kelsey and Andrea, who gave us live reports from Big D and also New Orleans. But we're going to go Sugar Bowl a little bit on you here, Tom, because God, it has something to say about Ohio State and Clemson, because he's played in one of those epic games in the Orange Bowl. Our buddy Taj Boyd joins us. Taj, first of all, Happy New Year, man. You doing okay?
There he is.
Happy New Year, man. Look, you know, the anticipation is building. I'm excited about it, man. It's going to be a good time. Tom, it's been a while, though, man. And Tom ain't aging either, you know, so this is good. This is good news for breakfast.
Now, you've been a part of this quote-unquote rivalry, and ironically, yeah, we celebrated the 42-year anniversary of the first go-around, which is when Woody Hayes punches Charlie Baumann, and the rest is history. Then the next go-around was the game you participated in as the starting quarterback in the Orange Bowl, and it was a great, great football game, back and forth. What do you remember from that game the most, other than the win?
Well, you know, I was flirting with Ohio State back and forth when I was going through the recruiting process, you know. So lining up on the offensive side of the football, man, and seeing guys that, you know, I went to camps with, that I went on visits with on the other side of it, man, made it that much more exciting. But, you know, we knew what type of game it was going to be. We talked about a storied program, and now Clemson sits in that same vein. And, you know, we knew we had to play four quarters, and that's what it came down to. And, you know, we had some makes and some breaks and some highs and lows, man, but that's what makes the game a game, and that's what makes it exciting. And, you know, with this particular matchup, this Ohio State team, the one thing that makes you a little bit weary is that we don't know much about them, and I don't even know if they know much about themselves right now. So we'll see, man. It's exciting, though.
No, Taj, it's been a bit of a war of words leading up to this one. And listen, I think that Dabo Swinney is very calculated with the things that he says and the things that he does. You played for him. When he makes public statements, how much of that is him trying to set his team up, create an edge, get that locker room stirred up a little bit, or is he just doing it because that's who he is?
No. Coach Swinney's methodical, you know. And to everyone's behest, look, this guy is a selfless individual. You know, he's getting made out to be things that he isn't. But he always begins with the end in mind. And his team rallies, and they love him, and they support him. And that's why you're seeing the conversations and the dialogue that's happening within the team, within the structure. You know, Tony Elliott's out this week, and yet there's still this confidence and this air about this football team. It's because they believe in the body itself and not just the head, right? And so, you know, Coach Sweeney, man, he's got a method to the madness. You always try to find ways to get in the edge, to create an advantage, to create some sort of spark. And that's what he's doing right now, and I expect those guys to act on that.
Taj, you mentioned Tony Elliott, and again, we wish him the very best and a speedy recovery. And Luke's mentioned this earlier. Communication is always key. I don't care what business it is, much less an offensive coordinator with a football game, especially one as important as the one Friday night. So you tell us, how important is the loss of Tony Elliott Friday night as far as this game goes?
I mean, it's a huge loss, but like you said, communication is key, right? One of the things I talk about a lot is about language. Right? You could be speaking different languages, but have the same goal in mind. But the thing at Clemson is everybody speaks the same language. It's turnkey. It's plug and play. That's where they're at when players are gone. That's where they're at when coaches are gone. And so I expect these guys to go and perform the same way they would if Coach E was there. But this is a big opportunity for a lot of different guys for a lot of different reasons. You got Brandon Streeter, who I'm assuming is going to take over play calling rights. You got Coach Sweeney. Hopefully he doesn't get a chance to call too many plays, because he'll have 19 trick plays on the first three drives. it'll be chaos. But, you know, that's the thing. You got the running back room, which is huge, right? You know, he's not able to take control of the running back situation. Travis Etienne, you know, Chez Malusi, Darian Rencher. But C.J. Spiller's been there. And Rob McDowell has been there. And so these guys understand what it is Clemson has an identity. They have a culture. They have something that they cultivated. And, you know, it spreads like monkey grass out there.
You know, Taj, another thing I mentioned to Pack is when you have a shift like this within the staff and you take your quarterback coach, who's generally on the field and has that face-to-face interaction with you coming off from a series and maybe things haven't gone well or you're heated, and now that face-to-face, that guy that you're looking in the eyes and having conversation with is no longer there. He's up in the booth. How does that change the dynamic of preparing for the next series in your mind if you're Trevor Lawrence?
You know, it all depends on the dynamic that they have in that quarterback room. You know, when I was playing, I had a guy named Donnie McAvin and Cole Stout and Chad Kelly as well, who were my counterparts. You know, if I was Batman at the time, those were my Robins. You know, when things weren't working well the way I thought they were, it was like, hey, look, take a deep breath. This is what's happening. This is what's happening on the shell, the rotation. They're bringing Cat Edge, whatever it is. You know, these guys are with me every step of the way. And I think that Trevor has that. You know, he has Hunter Helms back there. He has, obviously, DJ back there. And these guys love each other. They appreciate each other. And ultimately, you got a bunch of football guys in there. We got J.P. Lossman sitting out there. Man, this guy's played a ton of football. So I expect, you know, these guys, because we talked about it before, Mark, what makes this team unique? What makes this team different? And I said it's probably the maturation of these guys, both on and off the field. And now we get a chance to see that on display.
Justin Fields, we don't know about the thumb. He certainly struggled throwing the football against Northwestern. The last time we saw him play in the Big Ten championship game, we know he's an incredible talent, great athlete, can run, can throw, smart, great arm. I mean, he's the total package. So with that said, the fact that Clemson saw him last year, what do you think the approach is going after Justin Fields this year?
Well, he got stymied a little bit with Chris Olave being out. But Justin Fields is still one of those guys that can do it all. You can't take into account what happened against that Northwestern football team simply because we know he can throw comebacks from hash to hash. He can throw vertical. He can throw horizontal. He can run. He can move it in pocket. And so it's finding ways to consistently get pressure on him and, one, stopping the run game. You know, when you look at what happened last week, they had a guy, Trey Sermon, have a record-breaking game, 331 yards. That's unbelievable, man. That's big time right there. But he was able to you know, supplement what Justin Fields wasn't able to do. Now, if Justin goes out here and throws for 300 yards and the kid Trey Sermon runs for 150, Clemson has problems, right? So it's figuring out ways to alleviate the stressors of these first initial play calls on offense to figure out where these guys are at and, you know, reduce Justin Fields to the bare basics, right, to the bare minimum. You know, don't give him a lot of time to move in the pocket. You know, I expect some early gut pressures, you know, in the first three, four series of the game and, you know, figure out where these guys are at and banging. You know, Skowski, man, is one of these guys who's got this controlled chaos, right? That's what you need, right? Orchestrated leadership. And Skowski, he's going to bring the thunder, man. And Tyler Davis is. And Brian Brzee is. And, you know, now it's Pinckney is. They got so many damn guys, man. It's unbelievable now. But, you know, they get a chance to build on that leadership, man, and continue to build their legacies. And that's what's going to be fun about this one because, you know, there's so much bad blood in between these two teams. And that's what we'll see until the playoff structure changes, that this just adds icing to the cake, man.
You know, Taj, you mentioned a handful of guys there, and they're all important. And it's easy to look at this matchup and say, all right, it's about the quarterbacks with Trevor or Justin. And, you know, we know some of the young freshmen, and you mentioned a couple of them. But give us a guy that you think could have a big impact on this game, either team, that maybe we're not talking about enough.
Braden Galloway.
Okay.
Braden Galloway. I mean, he's a guy who, to be honest, I mean, hasn't really had many opportunities, but we know what he looks like when he's in space. He's found ways to be consistent. I mean, there's been a couple drops here and there this season, but he's a matchup nightmare. I mean, back when I was playing, you know, I would take my tight ends and we would do all these various different things with them to get that we wanted. Matchups on linebackers, matchup on safeties, and I expect to see that a little bit more in this game. Amari's been able to carry this arsenal through the air for a long time now, man, and I'm assuming that they're going to double down on him and key on him, and I expect to see Braden be able to break away. But, again, you know, this game is going to be won in the trenches. You know, we've seen Clemson's offensive line has been questioned, you know, all year for the last couple years. And, you know, I said Travis probably does more with less than anybody. You look at that Notre Dame game, though, and they brought a different element to it. It was a different aura. And so the way they worked up to that second level, the way they gave Travis room to run, if we see that again, man, this is going to be disastrous for Ohio State. And, you know, obviously an imminent success for Clemson. And so, you know, I want to see what these guys do, how they respond, how they rally. When they get hit, do they get back up? And it's going to be the same thing on that Ohio State side of it. You know, Ohio State's – and Ryan Day, I'm assuming, is getting tired of being called, you know, or put into the same category as Brian Kelly, right? They got to win it. They got to win a big one. And there's no better team to do that against than Clemson, but Clemson also knows that. You know, they know that they're the target, and yet Coach Sweeney still continues to pour it on to them. So he must know something that the rest of us don't. Yeah. Vegas is excited about it because the spread has been changing back and forth for the last 3-4 days. And so there's it's building, baby. It's almost here.
Taj, one more thing for me. It's interesting and not surprising that you picked an offensive player as somebody to keep an eye on. I'm going to go to both teams here. I think the team that whose secondary plays the best is going to win the game. And with Nolan Turner out in the first half due to the goofy targeting call, that is a concern because I think Ohio State's wide receivers are legit. Yeah. Justin Fields is a big time talent. They've got chip on shoulder. Clemson's got a chip on. So all that to me is kind of a wash with the motivation thing. They're both want to win the game. But I think both secondaries better have a good night because if you don't, the other guy can embarrass you. And that's true, for either side. Either side.
Well, in the secondary, still relatively young at Clemson, you know. And so like a Landon Sanders, right? Like this guy is full of energy. He has the hair to go with it. He's a banger. But he has to play under control as well, you know. And again, when we saw how limited that offense was without Chris Olave. And so, you know, that's the tough part. I think that's what Coach Sweeney was trying to say when he was talking about us not seeing or knowing, you know, what this team looks like for a full 11 games because we got a small sample size. But Venables, you know, is well prepared. He's going to find ways to put all of these guys in good situations. DK, Sheridan Jones, you know, the finding ways. I'm going to tell you, Venable's deal, right? This is what he does better than anybody else. He tries to figure out where guys are weak, and he builds strength off of that. He alleviates, and he pretty much wipes away the blemishes as best as he can to put guys into position. And so if we're weak at safety, you can expect a lot of twisting game up front, right? If we're weak there, you can expect a lot of backers coming off the edge, man, and creating some sort of chaos, man. So, you know, finding ways for guys to be in position and play the game within the game is probably going to be the most important thing in this one, like you said, Mark. But, you know, I'm excited to see how these guys respond. You know, these guys are a product of their environment. And, you know, they've been through the ringer. They've been through the trenches. They've been groomed for this moment right here. And, you know, when you're at your best, you know, that's where there's the test, all right? And that's both for these teams right here, man. I'm excited to see the matchup and see how Ohio State responds to all of the talk.
Yep, you got it. Well, listen, Happy New Year. We always appreciate the time and thoughts and prayers, my man. All right, you got it?
Thanks, buddy.
You guys, man. Talk to you soon. Happy New Year.
You got it.
You too.
Taj Boyd, former Clemson quarterback, breaking it down for you. Ohio State and Clemson tomorrow night. And again, we will all get started for us here on ACC Network tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. with Lil Packer and Durham. When we come back, we're going to go to a Tom Luganville strength. He is Mr. Recruiting, right? He knows all when it comes to this stuff. We kind of gave you the all 22 from the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl earlier. We're going to take it to another level. Show Me Your Talent is coming up next. We break down everybody playing the big games on a Friday in the ACC. It's all coming up right here on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Sugar Bowl press conference coming up in 10 minutes. We will go live to both Dabo Sweeney and Ryan Day, so you will not miss a thing from New Orleans. But Tom, one of your bread and butters, your go-tos, is recruiting. And when you take a snapshot of the four teams in the college football playoff, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, hey, we know you got great coaches, but you better have dudes, right? We talk about this all the time. And not only better recruit them, developing them becomes even more paramount. So with that said, when you take a snapshot of the four that made it this year, give us some general observations of these four teams from a recruiting perspective.
Well, if you look at, you know, people look at, you know, class rankings, and it's something fans love to dive into. And, you know, where did our team finish in recruiting? And listen, it's a paper champion. And oftentimes you're not going to know for 2 to 3 years down the road how well a class ends up turning out to be. But what you can, for the most part, depend upon, and we looked at the numbers over the last 4 years, last four recruiting classes, is all of the classes outside of Notre Dame averaged a top 10 class to get you into the college football playoff, whether it's an Ohio State, whether it's an Alabama, whether it's been a Clemson. The outlier has been Notre Dame. And it's actually pretty explainable. When you look at, you know, the reoccurring themes and the dominance of programs like Alabama, like Clemson, like Ohio State, teams that have not only made the college football playoff, but won a playoff game and also won a national championship. But then when you take, let's just say, an Oklahoma, or you take a Notre Dame, that's kind of been the difference. They've been able to get there. And I think that, you know, year in and year out, you can probably have a top 10 to top 15. And you see the numbers right here. So, you know, over the last 4 years, you know, on average, Alabama was the second ranked class of all classes. And you look at Notre Dame, they're just outside of the top 10 at 13. But the reality is you could get to a college football playoff. You could make an appearance. You can be in competition. The question is, can you actually win a game? And I point to a team like Oklahoma or a team like Notre Dame, and really the difference has been, when you get into that top four, are you as good as that opponent? Are you as deep as that opponent in the offensive and defensive line? And that's generally where the biggest gap is. And it's because those players are the hardest to find. Now, what are we constantly talking about with teams like Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama? Where have the first-round draft choices come from? They've come from premium positions, offensive line, defensive corner, and at quarterback. So whether it's been Ohio State with Chase Young or the Bosa brothers, what have you, whether it's been Clemson, where we've seen just a wealth of talent along the defensive front, ever since Nick Saban arrived in Tuscaloosa, that's been the reoccurring theme. The struggle, and I think Notre Dame's closed the gap to some degree, and I know Oklahoma is closing the gap, because Oklahoma is the team that they were this year because of defense, not because of offense. And it's at those positions up front. So in order to be like a top five, top 10 class, and if I were to look at Clemson and say, okay, Clemson signed six guys in a class at the defensive tackle or defensive end spot, and they all rank within the top five of their position nationally, maybe Notre Dame only signed two. All right, well, that's a big difference. That's a big difference at a premium position. And that kind of tells the story for you as to maybe why Notre Dame has struggled to actually win that playoff game, or Oklahoma has failed to win that playoff game. And it's really because of those positions at those four premium positions I mentioned.
Tom, I think it's interesting that this is year seven of the college football playoff. Year seven. Mm-hmm. There's only five teams that have made it to the college football playoff multiple times. That would be Clemson. That would be Bama, of course. That would be Ohio State. That would be Oklahoma and Notre Dame. Of those five, Notre Dame hasn't won a game.
Right.
Oklahoma hasn't won a game. Ohio State, despite all those great recruiting classes, you know what? They won it in year one, and since then, they haven't won a game. I mean, it's been 6 years and counting. Really, it's been a Clemson-Alabama thing, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And so even with it's as hard as it is to make it, much less do it twice or plus from that, we only have five teams that have done it, but amongst the five, even that's been slim pickings as far as actually having success in the tournament. It's kind of crazy how dominant really two programs have been. And I put Ohio State in there, but they're not on the same level based on results as Alabama or Clemson.
Well, and there's an explanation for that. Look at the recruiting footprint of Clemson and Alabama versus the other teams that you've mentioned. So, for example, I mentioned Ohio State. I mentioned the Bosa brothers. Guess where they're from? The state of Florida. All right. Raekwon McMillan was from the state of Georgia. Von Bell, state of Georgia. Now, Ohio State didn't sign Justin Fields, but Justin Fields, state of Georgia. That pool that Clemson and Alabama are fishing out of. It's not just the fact that you've got a state like Florida that's got 20 million people. It's the states that border Florida. All right. So if you go at LSU, you go to Louisiana, you go to Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, and South Carolina, the players that are just in those states is why Alabama and Clemson have advantages. And really, a lot of teams in the Southeast have advantages in recruiting.
Yeah, it's going to be, again, you got to have dudes. And even when you sign them, you then have to develop them. And that's where coaching certainly comes into play. And finding out, you know, does a kid have a passion to play? I mean, forget about what you did in high school. When you get to the next level, everybody can run and hit and wants to get after it. So it's a complicated mess trying to figure all that stuff out. But I know this much, there will be great talent on the field on Friday at both the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl. When we come back, we're going to go live to New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl press conference. Dabo Swinney, Ryan Day, we'll have you covered. You won't miss a thing. It will all be live right here on Packer and Durham, along with Tom Luganville on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast. The Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham and Luganville. We will go live to New Orleans when the press conference is ready to roll. You will hear from Dabo Swinney and Ryan Day. You won't miss a thing, I promise. But before we do that, earlier we did the All Rose Bowl 22, All Sugar Bowl 22, according to Tom Luganville. So, Lugs, if we combine those two games together, give me the All 22 plus one of the best of Sugar and Rose combo.
Okay, this is a heck of a football team. And I didn't really give it, when I started putting it together, I started realizing, there's some nuggets here. But if you see what I've done here, I did kind of cheat. So Trevor Lawrence, of course, makes the cut from the All-22, as does Travis Etienne. That was a tough one, but he gets a bit of a lifetime achievement nod over Najee Harris. And then you see the wide receivers right there. Devontae, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and then drop down to the bottom of the screen. There's no way I could not include Amari Rodgers. He's too important, and he contributes in the kicking game, and I think you can put him on par with every one of those receivers. Michael Mayer, I talked about, I think is a future first-round draft choice one day, and that offensive line would be a monster group. And I will say this, Landon Dickerson, if he's healthy, he would take the spot over Josh Myers.
Wow. So you'd have had four Bama guys up front, offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Fair enough on that. Even I'm sure Notre Dame guys are sitting there going, hey, whoa, man, we got the best offensive line in the country. A&M folks, I know that you're not part of this conversation, are going, hey, we're better than both of you. So, you know, who knows? that's why fans are fans. That's why we love it. All right, how about the D?
All right, you see the defensive front, very, very similar to what I had on the All-22 team for the Sugar. The linebackers, it was really interesting, but I think that's a very talented group. Skalski is just, you know, he's going to play with his hair on fire. And then that secondary right there is pretty dang good.
I like it. All right, well, let's not mess around. Yeah. We're going to go right down to the Big Easy. The press conference about ready to start. Again, Ryan Day, Dabo Swinney. It's all about the Sugar Bowl, and it's going to be live right now.
Opening statement from each coach, and then we will go ahead and go to questions. We ask that you raise your hand, and we will then call on you to answer, to ask your questions. This time, we'll start with a brief statement from Coach Swinney. Go ahead, Coach.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. We're just very appreciative of all the folks here at the Sugar Bowl. I know there's been a tremendous amount of work in trying to pull this thing off, and just appreciative of everyone involved for providing us this opportunity. And congratulations to Ryan and Ohio State for being here as well. I know it's going to be a great game. Obviously, you know, wish that we could have, you know, a lot of people there in person, but I know there'll be a ton of people watching this game on TV, and we're excited to be a part of it and hopefully, you know, play a great game for everybody.
Thank you very much, Coach. Well, now to go to Coach Day for a brief statement.
Yeah, I echo Coach Sweeney's, you know, comments. We're very, very excited to get down to New Orleans and a very unique season, you know, and very unique year and bowl experience, not being able to spend time in such a great city, New Orleans and the people down there. But Sugar Bowl, what a great bowl, and so much respect for what they've done to make this work in a unique time. Same thing with Dabo and the Clemson Tigers. Again, another year, another great season, and looking forward to putting on a great show. You know, and I think that's what's great about this season is that there's been so many distractions and different things that have happened, and this gives America an opportunity to watch a game, and hopefully it is a great game. But it's been a fun week of preparation, and looking forward to getting down to New Orleans.
Thank you very much. And this time we'll start with the media, and we ask that you make sure you unmute yourself when you're called on, and let us know which coach you're asking the question of. We'll start with Austin Ward with Letterman Row.
Hey, Ryan, this is a little bit of a rare opportunity for you to be an underdog. I wonder how that strikes you, how that maybe motivates you, and what that would do maybe for your pregame message for the Buckeyes.
Well, you know, I think when you get into a stage where you're playing against great competition, you know, there's going to be a lot of competition leading up to the game, and that's what makes college football so great. But I think our guys are excited to play in this game, regardless of the situation or what leads up to it. I mean, you're in the CFP and you're playing for the national championship, so I don't think you need any more motivation other than you're two games away from winning the whole thing. After this such, long journey that we've been on, this is the stage we wanted to be on. So I think we're highly motivated, but I'm sure all four teams are.
We'll now go to Andrea Adelson from the ACC Network.
This question is for Dabo. With Tony not being there, he obviously has such a good feel for calling games as they're going on. How much do you think you guys will miss that without him being there?
Oh, well, we're certainly going to miss Tony. I mean, he's does a wonderful job for us and always has been with me a long time. But, we're well prepared. We've got a great staff. We're all part of it. And we'll find out. You ask me that after the game.
Next up, we're going to go to Ralph Russo from the Associated Press.
Hey, guys, and this is for both Ryan and Dabo. It seems like you've both sort of painted, I think you probably do this to sort of, motivate your teams a little bit or give your teams like, sort of a vision of a goal as this of sort of an unfinished business type of game. Both had, with Clemson losing in the Sugar Bowl last year and obviously, Ohio State losing to Clemson. I wonder if you can sort of talk a little bit about how that was used to sort of motivate the teams or sort of give the teams, a vision of a goal to pursue as you're going into this game.
Dabo, if you'd like to start.
Well, I mean, we're motivated by winning just as much as we are losing. We've won a national championship, and that's pretty motivating. You want to go do it again. And as you mentioned, we lost right here last year, and that's pretty motivating too. I think that every year you start over, and the goal is to be the best you can be. Our goals are laid out and pretty simple, but allow us to compete at the highest level, and everything goes through winning our league. That's where it starts. We're always motivated to be our best, and certainly we learn from our memories, as I always say, we just try to keep our dreams greater than our memories, whether you had a tough loss or you had a big, big win last year to finish your season. Season's going to end one way or the other, and you either win it all if you're in a playoff like this, or you get beat. and or you're in a bowl game and you win that bowl game and you have momentum and excitement going in your off season, whatever it is, I think all those things provide motivation. And, you know, that's it.
Thank you, Coach. And Coach Day, I have a question of unfinished business.
Yeah, you know, I think after last year's game, it was fresh in our mind and something that, you know, was used as motivation. And then as the quarantine kind of hit, you know, there just seemed to be more things that were front and center for a long period of time. And then as the season went on, you know, and we were able to get the season going again, you know, all those goals, you know, right in front and center for us. And obviously our number one goal every year is to beat the school up north and then win the conference and then win the national championship. And so I think the biggest thing for us is just having an opportunity to tell a great story of all the adversity that this group has overcome. And that's really at the end of the day, what we focus on, because this is an amazing group. It's what they've overcome, what they've gone through. And just like a lot of schools, I mean, everyone's had their own adversity they've gone through during the season, which has made this such an amazing year, inspiring for so many people. But I think for us, the highest motivating thing with that is just the fact that we'll have something to show for it in the end and be able to tell a great story of overcoming so much.
Thank you, Coach. Our next question is Bill Rabinowitz from Columbus Dispatch.
Hi, Ryan. You've been shorthanded against Michigan State and obviously against Northwestern. I know the status report won't come out till tomorrow, but can you give a general assessment of how close to full strength you'll be?
Yeah, I mean, full strength is a floating target right now, because you know there's guys who, you know, come off of the quarantine and then, or excuse me, the isolation, and then they have a protocol to get back onto the field, and you don't just play football after not doing anything for 10 days. And so I think there's certain levels of return to play. And all those guys, you know, who were missing there for the last month are working their way back into it. So we are getting a lot of guys back, but to say 100%, you know, it's different this year. But the good news is they are working their way back and getting stronger every day.
Next question will be David Hood from TigerNet.com.
Hey, Coach Sweeney, sorry, trying to get unmuted there. This is kind of the same question for you. I know we won't get that full report to tomorrow, but, you know, are you close to full strength? Is there anybody of, you know, note that maybe didn't make the trip other than Coach?
No, I think everybody's here except I think we had two guys that didn't make the trip, one walk-on and one scholarship player, and that are just unavailable. And but everybody else is here. You know, even our injured guys and things like that.
We'll now go to David Hale from ESPN.
Hey, Dabo, you have talked a lot about how proud you are of your guys this year for all the challenges that they've had to overcome in getting to this point. But I know you to be somebody who thrives from personal interaction, which has certainly been limited this year. You make your calendar out a year in advance, which I'm sure, work well in a year like this. And certainly you've probably gotten more criticism this year than most years. How challenging has this year been for you? And what have you kind of learned from, or how have you grown the same way that your players might have from some of these challenges that you've had to overcome right up to Coach Elliott being out for this important game?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's had to adapt. It's been a great year. I mean, it's been challenging for sure. But you know, I always say God never says oops. It's just how I always look at it. And there's certain things we go through that we don't like, you know, but, you know, that's how you grow. That's how we get better. And you know, in a lot of weird ways, as challenging as it's been within our world and what we do, it's also been a blessing. It really has. I mean, we've had, you know, it's just kind of been us. It's just been us. And this group has been amazing to be with every single day. And, you know, I'm thankful that we have the type of culture here that's, you know, been awesome to see. It's not an accident that we're here. These guys are great young people, first and foremost, and we've got a bunch of great leaders. We have a wonderful staff, and, you know, it's just been very different. We've had to make a million adjustments and, you know, the protocols and how you meet, how you eat, how you travel, how you practice, you name it, things that you would have never thought of before, but we've made it work. And, you know, and you go to games, and some games there's nobody there, some games there's a few people there. But we've had we've found a way to still have joy in the journey, and I love that. So, you know, these guys have been great, and it's seeing guys step up. I mean, we've started more guys this year than at any time ever. We've had all kind of guys out here, there, even dealing with coaches out, and you know, everybody just continues to step up, but. For me, you know, it's been a great year, you know, in a lot of ways. Challenging, but again, we all grow through challenges. Learned a lot. Learned Zoom. Never heard that before. learned a lot of new technology. So, you know, that's something that's probably going to carry forward with us forever. Recruiting was very, very different. You know, we've got a couple of guys moving to campus on Sunday that I've never met, like in person. So it's been unique. We've had to kind of learn our way a little bit, but, you know, it's all good. It's all good.
Thank you very much, Coach. Our next question will be from Doug LeMaurice from Cleveland.com.
Hey, Ryan. You guys have obviously worked the two tailbacks this year. You leaned on Master Teague several games early. We saw what Trey did against Northwestern. How do you think that worked out for you guys this year with the two backs? And given what Trey did against Northwestern, what could Master's role be in this game Friday?
Yeah, it's been a different year than last year for sure, where, you know, JK kind of the bell cow for us and handled the majority of the snaps. This year it was a little bit more. It was by committee early on, and both of those guys were coming off injuries. You know, Master had his Achilles, and Trey was coming off of his knee from last year. So you had two guys who had similar running styles, but were both coming off injuries and finding their way. And when you don't have as many games to kind of get your rhythm of what you're doing in the run game, it just takes time. And when you're splitting carries, it's even harder. But I think both of them in a short season for us have kind of found that rhythm a little bit. And I think you saw the best version of Trey, and it was great to see him because it didn't all come right away for him. You know, here's a grad transfer that comes in expecting to just, you know, come in and pick up where JK left off, and that didn't happen for him. But he kept working. I mean, he never came into my office one time and complained about carries, just kept going to work, getting better every day. And to see him run the way he did last game was awesome. So, you know, hopefully he keeps building from there.
Thank you, Coach. And a reminder, any media looking to ask questions, please use the raise your hand feature and we'll get to you as quickly as we can. Our next question will be from Lawton Swan from ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Lawton, be sure to unmute, please.
Hey, Coach Sweeney, you mentioned CJ Spiller working with the running backs. My question is really, what will the quarterback situation look like on the sidelines with Brandon up in the box? And how does that work on game days with Tony Elliott and the running backs typically?
Yeah. So, you know, typically myself or Street will rotate the backs, when we need to, but Streeter will go up where Tony was. And so, you know, as far as the, yeah, we won't have to rotate that. Spiller will handle that. He'll do a good job of that on the field. But as far as quarterbacks, you know, just like coming off the field after each series, typically, Streeter's right there. I'll huddle up with Trevor as well. So just the difference is Street will be on the phone. So, you know, Trevor will go get on the phone and still have the same conversations that you would normally have, just be on the phone versus, you know, right there in person.
Our next question will be from Tim May with Letterman Row.
Yeah, thank you very much. Ryan, you spoke earlier about your friendship, you and your wife's friendship with Dabo Swinney and his wife. And I'm just wondering, with that in mind, did you take offense to the fact that he voted you guys number 11 in the coaches poll, even though he explained his reasoning, and or are you just thankful he's not on the college football playoff selection committee?
Well, yeah, I would say that. I'm happy that that's not the case. But I will say this, being at the bowl game last year at the Fiesta Bowl and then having an opportunity to go on a trip, coach's trip this off season, with Dabo and his wife, they were very graceful to Nina and I, and being a young, coach and Nina trying to find her way is, the wife of the head coach of Ohio State. There's only a few people in the country that really, can share the same experiences, and, they've been unbelievable to us just in terms of giving advice. And it's a very highly competitive environment we live in. I mean, that's the way it goes. But at the end of the day, we're all human, and appreciated the way that, he really gave great counsel, and he's been nothing but a pro.
Next will be Tony Gerdeman from Buckeye Scoop.
Brian, I believe you guys will be testing today and then again tomorrow. I'm wondering if there are PCR tests available to you in New Orleans, and is it a possible competitive disadvantage for you guys? I think Clemson is done testing for the week.
I mean, I think that's a unique situation that we don't have the same protocols going into the game, but I'm not going to spend time thinking about that. I'm tired of that. It's just what it is, as long as the guys are healthy playing in the game, that's what matters. We're going to have an opportunity to PCR. We're testing this morning. And then if we do get a presumption, we'll have a chance to PCR before we get on the plane, and then we go from there. So at the end of the day, what's the goal? The goal is to have a clean field, and so we'll follow the protocol that's been set forth.
Our next question will be Dan Hope from 11 Warriors.
Hey, Ryan, how important is it for you guys to control the line of scrimmage on both sides of a ball to have a chance to win this game?
Very important. I mean, it's important for every game, but when you're playing in a close game like this, it comes down to just that, who's winning the line of scrimmage. It comes down to a few plays, as we learned last year. And anytime you're playing in a matchup game, that's what you got. But the line of scrimmage is critical, and that goes back to any big game that's been played probably in the history of college football. So something that's being emphasized, I'm sure, on their side, and it is on ours as well.
Next question's for Coach Sweeney. It's coming from the online portal. Travis Etienne gets a chance to come back to New Orleans and his home state again. How good do you feel for him being back in Louisiana one more time?
I'm happy for him. I mean, obviously, he's wants to finish well. What a season he's had. Unbelievable what he's done this year, and just his development into a truly complete player, a complete football player, can do it all. So, great opportunity. We started the year here. We started this 2020 year right here in New Orleans, and hopefully, we can, get a better result as we finish it. And I know that's something that he really wants, and I know he's going to put his best foot forward to play a great game.
Next, we'll go to Joey Kaufman with the Columbus Dispatch.
Ryan, if you had to look back on the last 7 months or so since June, what has been the biggest challenge for navigating this whole season from like a leadership perspective?
I think in an industry that's all about routine, we've been out of routine on a daily basis. And I think that it's exhausting for a lot of people, not knowing what's coming next or having a plan and then having to constantly change it. I think that's been probably the number one thing I would say. And then about since June, I mean, the fact that, we didn't have a season, that we did have a season, we have games, we don't have games. I mean, that wears on you. And not being able to, as the head coach and the leader of the program, to look people in the eye and let them know what's coming next, just that they have to just keep putting one foot in front of the other. I'd say that's been the biggest challenge. But the thing that I've learned the most is just perspective. That's what this is all about, is that you can take anything for granted. And that, although it wasn't exactly the way we wanted the season to go, we're still very, very fortunate to be where we're at. I mean, look, we're right back where we started and have an opportunity to play in this game and playing for a great university, playing against a great team in Clemson. And so as hard as it's been, we still have a lot to be thankful for.
Next, we will go to Patrick Murphy from 24/7 Sports.
Ryan, we talked to some of the defensive guys this week about the improvement from that Indiana performance until now, and we've only seen two games of that, but they seemed confident that within practice they've really improved. I'm curious your perspective on the development of the defense from that game until now, specifically.
I think it's a great question because, you know, how do you really know when you've played six games? I think the only way you learn is by playing in games. And that's been one of the hardest things for us as the season's gone on, is we haven't had those opportunities to see. But there are things that are being addressed. We have really high level of talent here. So we go against each other every day and compete. And there's been a lot of padded practices where we've gone against each other to try to get better because we had to. So I think that there's been great improvement in that area, but the ultimate test will be tomorrow.
And our next question will be for Dabo, and that's also from the online portal. How do you feel that you're not seen as an underdog anymore due to your tremendous success?
And, you know, we've been some underdogs along the way a couple times in these playoffs. But it's really just more the same. You know, we've won a lot of games the last 6 years, and there hadn't been many of those games that we've been the underdog. There's been a few, but not many. The great majority, we've been expected to win the game. And so, you know, that's just the norm. You know, we prepare to win, we expect to win, and we really don't get too distracted by, you know, any of the other stuff. It's really more about how we think. And, you know, we again have been the so-called favorite most of the time the last 6-7 years. So just really same focus that we always have.
Next, we'll go to Spencer Holbrook from Letterman Row.
Ryan, when you talk about all of the underdog card and all of those things that go into this game, and everybody's been asking about that, is there an aspect of kind of overdoing that? And how do you balance not overdoing the underdog card and just telling your guys to go and play football?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. More to what Dabo just mentioned is that you know, those are people's opinions. What really matters is how we execute on the field and how we play. And that's what we focus on, and, you know, as we go out to practice, we go into meetings, we have our preparation for the game. That's what matters. You know, people have their opinions, but if you make the plays and you play well, then you're going to have a good day. If you don't, then you won't. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And so who's more prepared to play in the game, you know, when the foot hits the ball? And that's where we spend all of our time. And when you get to this point of the season, both teams, I think, are highly motivated. And that's what we focus on.
Press conference. Lugs, enjoyed it a great deal, my man. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, same to you. I enjoyed it as well, man. Happy New Year to you and yours.
You got it. And by the way, tomorrow we start at 11 a.m. The commissioner of the ACC, John Swafford, will join us. We'll have live reports from both New Orleans and Dallas. It should be a great deal of fun. West Durham should be here 11-ish. Brunch tomorrow. Right here, ACC Network. Folks, enjoy it. Thanks for everybody back in Bristol, the smart folks getting us on the air. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. right here on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.